God has been so good to us. And unfortunately, many times, we take that for granted. Before we go to prayer today, we heard in Sunday school already that Brother Craig Kelly had another one of his attacks, and he's recovering at home, but they're not here today, so let's pray for him. And we want to pray also for Donna's mother. She had difficulty with her heart. They did take care of the heart issues, but now there's fluid buildup in her lungs and in her heart area, and they had to take her back to the hospital, so let's pray for her as well. Jim, would you lead us, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the day, Lord. We thank you for this gathering, Lord, in your name, Lord. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up, Lord, in this service, Lord. Lord, we pray for Craig Kelly, Lord, and we pray for Donna's mom, Lord, that you just bless them, strengthen their bodies, Lord, and just be with them and comfort them, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, let us have good fellowship after the service, Lord. And Lord, just God bless the preacher, Lord, that the message would get out loud and clear, Lord, and that you would lay on his heart what we need to hear, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. Let us go forth out of here, Lord, praising your name, Lord, and telling others about you. We thank you, O Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. 443, under his wings. 443.
So I'll be brief. As you know, last Sunday we had a business meeting about getting the tree cut down out back here, and that was done Friday. The work was done from 7 o'clock Friday morning, and it was done by noontime. And the total cost wound up to be $1,350, which was half the total bill, which we split with our neighbor. And so the work was done, it's completed. If you came in through the parking lot, you already noticed it. If you haven't seen it, you might want to take a walk outside and just see how it looks now. But anyway, it's a good thing that we finally had this thing done. The tree was messy and it was quite dangerous. There were pieces of that tree that really could have come down at any time. And it was infested with carpenter ants. So it's something that was a long time coming. We wanted it to happen a long time ago, but we didn't have a neighbor that was agreeable to it. So fortunately, we now have a new neighbor who worked with us very well on that and split the cost. And so glad to report that that's done. And does anybody have any questions? One thing you might want to, you might probably come to your mind is that the stump is still there. The tree service that did this does not remove stumps in the wintertime. That's just the way they do their stuff. They will start removing stumps in the springtime, anytime after March 15th. We have an estimate of $400 to have the stump ground out. And so anyhow, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But anyway, the work's done, and I'm glad to report that everything was done safely. Nobody got hurt. The work was done on time, and there was no damage to any of the buildings. So if you have any questions, Okay, thank you. Oh, Kathy.
Are they coming back to remove the stumps that are there?
The
ones
what?
That they already cut down. You know they have stumps.
The pieces of wood. The pieces of wood that are there?
The stumps.
The stump that's in the ground?
No, the ones that were already cut.
The pieces that are in the neighbor's yard?
Yes.
Oh, no. No, the neighbor wanted that wood.
Oh, all
right. In fact, the neighbor asked if he could keep the wood because he has a friend that uses a lot of firewood.
I do too, that's why I was.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, okay. So the deal was is that the tree service knocked $400 off the cost of the job because they didn't have to haul the stumps away.
Nice.
Because you have to go dump them somewhere, you know. It's nothing's free anymore. And I don't know that it would cost $400 to dump them, but at any rate, they knocked $400 off the cost of the job, and they cut it into firewood-sized pieces for them. And then Nick Heyer is the neighbor's name. Nick and his neighbor will take care of that. He's gonna his friend will come over with his truck, and they'll get rid of all those pieces of wood. So they're already spoken for. I'm sorry. Yeah. But you know they're pretty heavy. You need a splitter. There's a lot of work involved with breaking that stuff up, and it's maple. It's hardwood. So, yeah. Any other questions? No. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Just a couple of announcements from me. First, Wednesday night, just like this past week, we will not have our service. We want you to spend time with your family and your friends for New Year's Day, so we will not have our service this coming Wednesday night. Coming up on January 26th, Brother Rodney Myers will be coming to preach here. He is not interested in our pastoral position. He's involved in a missions ministry based in Lebanon here in PA, right outside of Lancaster. Anyway, he'll be coming for all three services. We will have a Sunday evening service that day. We had one this last Sunday. It was a blessing to be able to have one for the first time in quite some time. And continue to pray with us on the search committee about what God would have us do with the men who have contacted us about our position here. I think that's all the announcements that I can think of right now. So we will have a special at this time. for our third song. I knew I had to put this in because of this was the song that Pastor Freeman used to sing as a special many times. And I think it'd be good for us to sing it together. 794, His Eye Is on the Sparrow. last song before another special message. 818, all the way in the back beyond the index. 818, great is thy faithfulness. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so? 818.
Now Thank you. Please turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29. One of the unique things about preaching before a meal is everyone is thankful when you're finished, more than normal. I was preaching at a church in Alabama. I may have told you this before. But preaching at a church in Alabama, they have a morning service, and when they have a special speaker, they have a church meal, and then instead of an evening service, they come right back, have an afternoon service, and everyone goes their separate ways. First time I was in this particular church, I had preached for the pastor before, but he was in a new church, and they had this. They had the morning service I preached. They had a meal afterwards, and as he was dismissing for the meal, he said, make sure you fill up Brother Mark's plate real good. But that's odd. But maybe it's just hospitality. And so they did their best to fill it up, and I was curious as to the motives. When we came back for the afternoon service, they were going to sing one song before I would preach. I am resolved no longer to linger. I said, I smell something here. So I didn't say a whole lot about it. A year or so later, I go back. They do the same thing, morning service, fill up my plate, afternoon service. They sang one song. Care to guess what it was? I am resolved no longer to linger. So Ralph, if you pull that for us for the closing hymn, I'm going to know something's afoot. We're going to preach very briefly on a passage in Proverbs chapter 29. Make three quick points. Some child asked his dad, what does it mean when a preacher says we're going to be brief? And the dad said, absolutely nothing. I intend to be brief, okay? We'll make three brief points out of Proverbs chapter 29, verses 16 through 18, drawing my text out of verse number 18. Proverbs 29, verses 16 through 18, the Bible says, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, in this section of Proverbs, it's almost as if, and we've seen this in other passages, where the Holy Spirit seems to be inspiring random thoughts that can be taken out of Scripture, out of context. But we have seen, like we did in chapter 3 for Sunday school, that there is a pattern that is followed. In verse number 9, it warns against the wise men contending with the foolish men. Verse number 10 deals with the bloodthirsty. Verse number 12, it speaks about how the ruler or the king shouldn't listen to lies. There's a theme, there's a pattern. When it comes to verse number 16, there's a warning. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression or sin increaseth. That's the United States in 2019, isn't it? We find that the wicked are multiplied, and as a result, the transgression, the sin is increasing. Verse number 17, the Bible tells us to correct our son. If we don't have proper God-fearing homes, it's going to affect how we can serve them. I can't tell you how many pastors or preachers or missionaries I've known who have lost their homes and have tried to maintain their ministry, but they lose that very shortly thereafter. You just can't do it. You can't do it. The Bible speaks strongly about that. But my point of emphasis for today is verse number 18 from the aspect of missions. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now I'm going to have you turn to several different passages today, and we'll move along quickly. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Where there is no vision, the people perish. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. Now, if you were to turn back to chapter 2, you'd see the carryings on of Eli's son. You'd understand why there was no open vision. You'd understand why the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Second Chronicles chapter 15 and verse number 3. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. When they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. There are times in history where the word of the Lord is not as prevalent as always. We get lazy, we get to the temptation to where we think that we will have access to the same teaching and preaching that we always have. That's not the case. There are times when it's more scarce than others. The Bible tells us, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is what? Near. That tells you there are times where he can't be found and when he's not near. God withdraws himself from people. He said in the book of Genesis, my soul shall not always strive with man. And he sent a flood, didn't he? We get the temptation, though, that God's like a 24/7. He's there at our leisure. And there is the aspect of he can be called upon, but that's not something we should take lightly, because there comes a time when God says, you know what? I'm done. I'm done. And that's a very sobering thing. But I want to look at it from a missions perspective. I want to draw three quick points. Number one, how have we lost our vision for souls where it once was? Point number two, why are there some places on the globe that have never had a vision or a mission for souls? Why are there some places in 2019, when technology is at its finest, when travel is at its easiest ever, why are there some places? And third, where there is no vision, people perish. People die lost without God. First point, how have we lost our vision where once it was? Answer to that is we become complacent. When a capitalistic society becomes lazy and complacent, socialism creeps in. I lived in Venezuela when socialism was voted into office, and now we see 20 years later the deadly results. People fleeing by the tens of thousands. People eating their pets, scavenging anywhere they can for any kind of food because they became complacent. And they got to where they'd rather have someone give them their food, give them money. And you know what? Margaret Thatcher said eventually the problem with socialism is you run out of other people's money. Spiritually speaking, the same thing applies. If we're not careful, as a body of believers, you will become complacent. To where you're content. There's a joke about a man who once prayed. He had a wife and two kids. And he said, Lord bless us. We four no more. Now that's kind of a joke. But practically speaking, if we're not careful, we can get that way. Lord bless Ray Street Baptist Church and the whole surrounding area. Don't worry about them. My family, my dad's side of the family specifically, has a strong spiritual heritage in upstate New York. In fact, my grandfather on dad's side and his siblings all had a strong spiritual influence in upstate New York. Talking from areas from near Binghamton all the way up to into the Adirondacks. And over the years, I was sitting here this morning thinking before Sunday school started, there was a time when our church started or attempted to start 7 different churches in different towns and boroughs in upstate New York. All the way from Watertown, all the way down to Dodgeville, which is near Utica and East Worcester. And the list, Cooperstown, the list went over and over and over in my mind. But the problem with upstate New York was in the turn of the 1900s, that was an area on fire for God. Great revivals happened. Churches popping up in all the places that were there. You know what? When I have my travels take me through upstate New York, I remember distinctly going through villages and Dad would tell me, son, that church used to preach a good gospel. That church used to do things for God. And now it sits empty. That was what it was like when I was a child. But I go back now and some of those buildings have either fallen down or they're being used for other things. There's one that our church took over and started a good gospel preaching church. Now it's a yoga studio. It's a market. They have contemporary services on Saturday night, and it wouldn't be anything that we would be comfortable with. What happened? The people got complacent. There's another one, Oneonta, New York, not far off where one of the routes that Jason takes on occasion. Oneonta, New York, used to be a good gospel preaching church. Now it's a brewery. You know what? I find this in towns. I'm finding it in the Southeast. Find it lots of places. Why? We've lost our vision. And as a result, we don't have the influence on the culture, on the society that we used to have. As a result, churches don't want visitors. They don't want to reach out to their loved ones. A church in the Southeast that we're very familiar with, my wife and I were talking one time, and I said this fairly emphatically, and Rachel agreed, this particular church does not want visitors. In fact, they've become such that if a visitor comes in, they do many things to make sure that visitor does not feel comfortable. Small congregation, big auditorium. One time they had a visitor come in. It was a homeless man. They all got up from where they were sitting and surrounded him. They were afraid that he was going to shoot the place up. They don't want visitors. But you know what? When you try to talk to them, when I travel into this particular church and encourage them to reach out around them, they don't want to have any impact. This was a church that used to be on fire for God, used to do things for God, but they don't want to do anything because they're comfortable in their own four walls. Meanwhile, their town is bursting at the seams with population, and cults are moving in. I had them tell me one time, there aren't any Catholic churches around here. I said, you have one downtown. I drove by it today. Where? They're not even paying attention. They had a vision, but they lost it. Don't let that happen to Ray Street Baptist Church. Number two, why are there places that have never had a gospel presence? Why are there places that have never had a vision? I've talked to a lot of missions directors. I have a lot of friends that are mission directors, have missionaries, some of them ranging from 20 missionaries on up to quite a few more than that. And I've asked them about different places where they struggle to get missionaries for, and their fields that are begging for missionaries, but they can't get anyone to come. When I'm home on Sunday mornings in Sunday school opening, I have a book called Operation World. And Operation World has alphabetically a list of the countries of the world and has statistics, population, economy, government, religiously, that sort of thing. And I've started paying attention to the missionary statistics. On average, it seems to me that there's about one missionary for every 35,000 people. Now, it's not a good number at all. Some countries are considerably higher than that. Some countries are considerably lower than that. So I started paying attention. What are the factors that determine if a country has a lot of missionaries or not? What do you think there are? There are four main factors. Any guesses? Weather. If the weather's good, it's more likely to have missionaries. Two, a good economy, or at least you can have a comfortable standard of living. Three, is the government really stable? And four, is the language English or something close to it? If it's English or Spanish, it's more likely to have a higher concentration of missionaries than some of the countries that have fewer. Why would that be? Because our people don't have a burden. I know one particular church that sent out four missionaries, and all four missionaries went to English-speaking countries. Now, it's not for me to question where their calling was, but you can't tell me with a straight face that God cares more for the souls of people that live in countries where the weather is good, the economy is wonderful, the government is stable, and the language is English. You can't tell me he cares more for their souls than countries where the weather is poor, the economy's not great, or the government's not good, or maybe the language is difficult to learn. That tells me that maybe some people are going to countries they shouldn't be going, or maybe some people aren't going where they should be. They're just staying home. Where there is no vision, the people perish. My challenge or question to you is, what is Ray Street Baptist Church going to do in 2020? What have you done in years past, and what are you going to improve upon? If we truly believe that Jesus is coming back and coming back soon, if we really believe that, shouldn't our actions show it? We talked about it in Sunday school, keeping the commandments with our heart, didn't we? What affects our heart shows up on the outside. What are you going to do for those around you? What are you going to do for those in other countries? Where there is no vision, the people perish. What's sad is that lack of burden I find in different churches. You say, Mark, don't pick on us. I'm telling you, I've noticed this in well over 100 churches and well over 20 states I've traveled. I'm not picking on you. In fact, there's some places I won't preach this because they wouldn't care if I did. They just sit there and stoically look at me like, oh, well, that's nice. Move on. But where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to have a heart and a burden for those around us. We need to pray for the missionaries that are doing something. We need to hold the lines financially and prayerfully for them. They are leaving home. They are leaving comfort to go help those that have never heard the gospel. The doors of opportunity are there. Where my siblings are in Brazil, there are hundreds of villages that have never heard the gospel. In fact, Brazil is a primarily Roman Catholic country. Some of them only have a priest come by once or twice a year or once every several years. Even the Roman Catholic Church struggles to get people to go there. Why? Because it's very poor. It's very dangerous. The weather is horrible. But we have doors of opportunity to get people into schools, and we don't have enough workers to get them in. My siblings have, I lost track, but they have well over a dozen schools that they go in, not even in their hometown, and they have people asking to come to more classes. One school in particular has 8 different classrooms in the morning and a whole different group of kids in the afternoon, 8 different classes in the afternoon. And they're begging my siblings, please come preach the Bible, come teach the Bible to our kids. And my siblings literally don't have time. We need to pray that people would go, because where there is no vision, the people perish. In our known history, no missionary has ever gone to that section of Brazil. As far as I know, the nearest missionary is 3.5 hours away by car. When I travel, oftentimes I'll be in a church and say something about my siblings being missionaries in Brazil. They say, oh, we support someone in Brazil. Do they know them? Well, it's a population of over 190 million people. Can you imagine being in another country and you saying, I'm from Pennsylvania. Oh, I know someone lives in the eastern half of the U.S. Maybe you know them. Not likely. But when I travel, most of those missionaries all live in the south, where the economy is better, the weather is nicer, it's much safer. We need to pray for the souls that don't have a gospel witness. Third thing, number 3, where there is no vision, the people perish. It's easy in our cultured and comfort lifestyle to forget that people are perishing all around us and all over the world. One of the things that I've never been in the habit of is watching the obituaries in the newspaper. And I've encountered older friends or older people I've known in years past and talked to them, and they say, well, so-and-so died. I said, really? I didn't know. They said, well, didn't you see their obituary in the newspaper? I've never done that. I grew up in a town of about 35,000, and my dad told me, with only a couple of exceptions, in the nearly 50 years he's been there, there's been an obituary every day. But there are people perishing around us all the time. There are people perishing across the globe. I am, as you well know, I am a numbers person. And so I decided to do some math. The world's population is over 7.5 billion people, meaning over 104 million people die every year. Now that sounds like a lot, right? But let me break it down for you. That means that 286,500 people die every day. What's the population of Lehigh County? Anybody know off the top of their head? 286,000 die every day. Nearly 12,000 every hour, and over 3.3 on average a second. There's a lost and dying world out there, and I fear many of them will say, no man cared for my soul. What are we going to do to reach them? What am I going to do to reach them? When I was studying for the message, I was trying to think, how can you understand exactly what it's like for three people to die every second? And have you ever heard of a metronome? You guys know what a metronome is? It's something that's used to keep beat. They have a metronome on YouTube, and you can get it to any count that you like. And I pulled one up, and it had 180 beats per minute. What that means is 3 per second. And I started it, and I listened to it, and I made myself listen to it for a full minute. Now, I'm not going to play it for a full minute for you, but I'm going to play it for a few seconds. What I want you to realize is, every time you hear the tick, somewhere in the world another soul died lost and will burn forever in hell. Okay? So I've got it on my phone. I'll play it into the microphone just for a few seconds. Think about it. Just to make you realize just how many souls. And what I'm trying to do is I want you to think, what am I going to do? What are we as a body of believers going to do in 2020 to try to reach these souls for Christ? Okay? So give me a second. I'll pull it up and you can listen to it. Every one of those is a soul that just died lost with no hope. I sat there for a full minute and listened to it. And it made me cry because I wondered how many of those 180 every minute could I have reached if I'd done something more for the Lord. Some of them I can't. I'm one person. But you know what? You've heard the story about the little boy on the seashore with all the fish that had rolled up on. They're throwing them back in. Someone said, you can't save them all. I said, nope, but I can make a difference to that one and that one. You've heard that before. Race Street Baptist Church can't reach 7.5 billion people in 2020. But you know what you can do? Collectively, you can decide that you're going to be as faithful as you can possibly be to reach a world, not only here in the Lehigh Valley, not only the Mid-Atlantic region, but what are you going to do to reach souls around you? Came across a quote sometime, I think it was October, somewhere in there. I've adjusted a little bit because I'm aware of the audience that I have. But I want you to listen to it closely. It said, you will not go to hell if you don't give to your church and give financially to missions. But others will. Think about that. You won't go to hell, but others will. If we're not faithful with the task that God has given you, has given us, has given me, there are others who are going to die lost and go to hell. 2019, for some of you, was a great year. It may have been a good year. For many of you, it was probably a tough year. Or a very difficult year. The church has gone through some tough years the last 3 years, hasn't it, since your pastor passed away? But you know what? God is still faithful. We're still responsible. What are you going to do for the sake of the gospel in 2020? Because you know what? If you don't aim for anything, you're not going to hit it. Reuben bought me a Nerf pistol. We were playing with it, and I was trying to show him how to aim it. And what would happen is he'd hold it this way, and he'd look over here. And he meant to shoot over here, but guess where his foam or dart would go? That way. You need to have a real course of action. You need to have a real plan, a real desire to serve the Lord. If you don't plan to do it, it doesn't happen accidentally. What are you going to do? Lord willing, you'll continue to search for God's man for you as a pastor. But don't sit, soak, and sour in the meantime. There are souls that you come across that are depending on hearing from somewhere. Do you think they're going to hear from the world about a God that saves? Do you think they're going to hear from their buddies and ungodly people that there's a Savior who will save them from their sins and take them to heaven? Do you think they're going to hear from them? No. They're counting on us to reach them. Yes, God the Holy Spirit has His work to do, but you know what? We've been commissioned to do it. Let's get about the Lord's business. Where there is no vision, that's either because there used to be and we got stagnant and content, or we've never had an influence there. But where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's not let next year be a year where we just say, we're fine. We're going to coast. Let's be about the Father's business. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for these dear folk. Help the pulpit committee as they continue to search for God's man for them in the upcoming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ralph, Jason.
Let's take our hymn books and turn to 671. 671. Rescue the perishing. And then as soon as everybody's settled downstairs, the ladies can get right in line and get going. Yes?
Ralph, if we could just please add a little prayer for the Christians that were just killed. There were 10 of them from Nairobi. They were beheaded by ISIS. 9 were beheaded, 1 was shot.
Okay. All right. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Father, we thank you for all you've given us here in this country. We often take it for granted and don't serve you the way that we should because of it. Help us to have that vision. As we have just heard, there are still people willing to give their lives to reach people with the gospel of Christ. And at the same time, living as an example of what a Christian should be. And we do pray for those in those countries where wickedness reigns and the government is anti-Christian. This kind of news reminds us that the Lord Jesus' coming is nigh. And we don't have much time. So we pray that we would use the time we do have and not get caught up in the affairs of this life, but rather do what we can to start here in our own local community, but don't get bogged down in that, but rather recognize that there is a world out there that needs the Lord Jesus. We are not responsible for the response. We are responsible to give the message. Help us to do that, even though it is uncomfortable, and many times people don't respond in the way that we would like. None of that matters. Your spirit will work. We just need to broadcast the message. Help us to do so. We thank you for the blessing of this meal we're about to have. We pray that you would bless those who took the time to make the food. We pray that we would enjoy the fellowship and remember all the good things that you've given to us through these years. We pray that as we continue to search for a pastor, that you would guide and direct the search committee. May we be faithful in the work that you've called us to do. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.